Heavenly Father, Lord and King, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for blessing me with the opportunities that you have blessed me with my wife, my son, my congregation, and the being chosen to be one of the messengers of this congregation for the people. Thank you, and I praise you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach. Amen. Shabbat Nachumu, everybody. Do you know what it is? Neither did I until they had to prepare this message. It's interesting, and as I go along this message, you will realize that this is something that really, it's really important for believers in Yeshua that you should understand what it is and remember it on a yearly basis. And you'll see why as I go through it. Because up until I had to prepare this message, I had no idea what it was about. I never even heard it before. So just as Moses said to Adonai in Exodus 33:18, I beg you to show me your glory. And in this message, the Lord will show us how his word is more than just do's and don'ts. Yes, it's his mitzvot, which are commandments, and they're important to know on how to be holy, kadosh, set apart for him. But there is more to Adonai, Yeshua, than just the commandments. He has a plan for the redemption of the world, and we are part of that plan. Rabbi Eduardo was just talking about that, Tikkun Olam, the restoration of the world. And as being part of that plan, we need to know whatever it is that he deems necessary for us to know. And in the military, you can get a secret or top secret clearance, but that doesn't mean you're privy to all the information. In order to be privy to certain information that's secret or top secret, you have to have the need to know, along with that clearance. Not everyone will know everything there is in security because it has to be compartmentalized in order to be secure, which means not everyone knows what's going on about the whole plan. And it's the same way in the heavenly kingdom. God reveals to us only what he deems necessary for us to know in order to grow and change into the people he has made us to be. He doesn't give us the whole plan right off the bat. He gives it to us when we're ready to receive that part of the information that we need to know. Doesn't mean that you're better or worse than others if you don't know or don't know something. It just means it is just not your time to know. And as we see in we'll see in this message, Adonai has revealed certain aspects of his plan within his word, and more specifically through his prophecies. And I believe this is one of the reasons why the Lord spoke to Rabbi Mark about changing the way we do our Torah readings, going off the typical yearly cycle that the rest of Judaism does, and change it so that we're reading more of the scriptures. There is more to be revealed to us, and we are at the point where it's time for us to have more revelation. And it's interesting, normally on this Shabbat, because it is Shabbat Nachumu, Isaiah 40 is the Haftorah that's being read. Rabbi Mark changed it, and today was Zechariah 1-6. And as he said, it's a prophecy of Yeshua's second coming. And it's very interesting, as you'll see later on as I go through the message, how that is really, really cool the way it happened. And it doesn't happen by accident. God had planned this all out. And because Rabbi Mark and myself were trying so hard to listen to the Holy Spirit, it came to be the way the Lord wants it. So as I was preparing for this, I checked my calendar to see what I was supposed, when I was supposed to give the message, what date, which is today. And I saw that it was Parashah Va'etchan, Hanan, but it also, it said it was Shabbat Nachamu. As I said, I had no idea, like you all. I just didn't. So the Ruach HaKodesh directed me to focus on this Shabbat Nachamu. I'm not one to really teach a lot on Jewish scriptures because I'm not well versed in it, not like a Rabbi Mark or Rabbi Eduardo. But what I had to find out what it is and what was its significance, because I had never heard of it and I didn't know anything about it. We speak a lot about the Jewish people and the Jewish things from this Bima. And as I was saying, Rabbi Eduardo knows a lot because he went to college and he majored in Jewish studies. There are some good things that come from this Jewish people that we need to know so we may know our God, our Messiah, better. But one thing I need to stress is that we are not a Hebrew roots congregation. It's very important to know we're not Hebrew roots. We do not believe that the Orthodox Jewish way is the gold standard for being righteous, especially since they deny Yeshua. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it doesn't always mean it's a duck, meaning just because Orthodox Jewish people do things a certain way doesn't mean that they're legit, and being like them will make you legit, make you a tzaddik, a righteous person. That's not true. There are some things that are in their literature that point to Yeshua and can give us a little more insight into knowing our Lord and his plan. Some of these things have been shared from here in the past. This message is one of those times where it could be shown that the Jewish literature reveals Yeshua. As Rabbi Eduardo was talking to earlier, before Zechariah started reading the Haftorah, the Jewish literature points to Yeshua as having to die. As having to be a royal priesthood. But they chose to change things that take away that information so it doesn't point to Messiah as the king. But unfortunately, some of our Jewish brothers, as well as some of the Christian brothers and sisters, have veils put over their eyes as far as these kinds of information. God wants all his children to be saved, whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile. He wants us all to be saved and to know him and to understand him. He revealed himself through the Jewish people. He came as a Jewish man. You cannot deny the Jewish aspects of it. Yes, there's a lot of things that were added that have no significance and do not glorify him. But we can't just throw everything out. As Rabbi Mark always said, you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. I pray to God for a revelation, not just for Jewish people to open their eyes. I pray that the veil, partial veils that are over all of our eyes will be removed so that we can all see and understand about our Lord and have a close relationship with him so that we can be closer to him and understand him and understand the calling he has placed in each one of our lives. I would say amen, but I don't want you to think I'm ending the message right now. I do have a sense of humor. Sometimes I don't show it as much as I should, but the Lord's been telling me I need to stop being a stick in the mud and show my sense of humor a lot more than what I have been in the past. So the title of this message, as it is up there, is Shabbat Nachamu, the countdown to the second coming. This is why this is significant to understand. It's not about the Jewishness. It's about seeing how in his word he has shown his plan. After this, after the message name, I dove into learning about the Shabbat Nakamu. And you may be saying, what this Jewish thing of Shabbat Nakamu have to do with me or my salvation? It has nothing to do with salvation. But it does have a bit of knowledge concerning our Messiah Yeshua and his second coming. From Isaiah 43, chapter 40, verse 3, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This isn't a fire and brimstone message, but it's a message about how wonderful and amazing our God is, as well as his word. It will also show how the Jewish people know Yeshua. They do know him. And they all have the evidence of him and his coming, but unfortunately they have missed it. So first of all, the Hebrew word nakamu actually means comfort or comforting. So today is the Shabbat of comfort, which takes its name from the Haftorah of today's parasha, which is Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 26. Verse 1 begins with, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, comfort, O comfort my people. He's speaking to the prophets. Which, by the way, as you've heard earlier, is this also the name of a song. After Rabbi Mark looked at my message, he suggested I ask my wife, Amanda, who's also the praise and worship leader. So I had a little inside track to that. I asked her if she could try it, play that song for today, and she said yes. So this is actually the Shabbat after the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av. Which I don't know if anyone doesn't know, but according to Jewish tradition, that is the day that each of the temples were destroyed. That is the day where the Jewish people were kicked out of Spain. I may not be correct on some of these, so if Rabbi Mark and Rabbi Doro can correct me on this, that'll be great. But I believe, based on the learning that I have learned throughout these years, that that's the case. So the ninth of Av was last Sunday. And according to, as I said, it's last Sunday. But according to the Art Scroll Chumash commentary of the five books of Moses, on the next seven Shabbats, the Haftorah that are read are called Shiva Anicha Mata, which means the seven of consolation. These Haftorah contain prophecy that offered the people comfort and hope, as well as redemption after the destruction of the first temple. Now, the important part is understanding how this correlates. Rabbi Mark is always taught with the spring festivals such as Pesach, first fruits, and Shavuot, or God's plan of his first coming, Pesach, where he's the Pesach lamb. He died for our sins. First fruit, he was the first fruit of the resurrection. And then Shavuot, which is a day, it's also called Pentecost. Jewish tradition says that the Torah was given on Shavuot, and also the Ruach HaKodesh was given on Shavuot. That's the plan of this first coming. Then you have the fall feasts, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And they represent the plan of his second coming. Can you see where I'm going with this? Why this message is titled Shabbat Nakamu, the countdown to the second coming? This is amazing because with Shavuot, the Shabbat after the regular Shabbat during Pesach, from that the day after that regular Shabbat, we start counting down for the Omer to Shavuot, 7 full Shabbats. There, according to the Shabbat Nachumu, there are 7 Haftorah portions that will be read for the next 7 Shabbats. Isaiah 40, 1 to 26, Isaiah 49, 14 to 51, 3, Isaiah 54, 11 to 55, 5, Isaiah 51, 12, 52, 12, well, and the rest you can read up there. And I'm no way saying that every one of these scriptures contain messianic prophecy. Although I believe some of them do, and I believe that some of the Jewish scholars also believe there's some messianic prophecy in these scriptures. These scriptures, in their plain context, their plain meaning, is talking about the Jewish people. But Isaiah is speaking of the comforting of the Jewish people for all their suffering. Yes, their suffering is because of their own disobedience, but still God tells Isaiah, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, comfort, oh comfort my people. But it's more than just comfort. There's also redemption, and we see in Isaiah 49:26b, and all the flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And who could this be speaking of other than Yeshua? What am I attempting to point out mainly is that I see, just like the counting of the Omer counts down to the receiving of Torah and the receiving of the Ruach HaKodesh after the Shabbat during Chag HaMotzi, which is Pesach, during Pesach, this Shabbat Nachamu is counting down to the second coming of Yeshua. We can have a way of counting down to when he comes, just like counting down to Shavuot, which, by the way, is Amen and I's wedding anniversary. So I can't forget it because we count down every year so I know when we're going to have our anniversary. Great. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. He will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen people from our four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's Matthew 24, 30 to 31. And just as I cannot say that every one of the Haftorah contains messianic prophecy, you can only say that I believe that just like the counting of the Omer, when Yeshua comes, it will be 7 Shabbats after the Shabbat Nachamu, which is just after the 9th of Av. I cannot say it is a fact, but it only makes sense that God would do things based on his own appointed times and his word. In Matthew 24:3-5, the Talmudin asked, tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Yeshua told them of various signs, such as hearing of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famine. But couldn't there also be other signs within his word? Yeshua said in his word that he will come in the clouds at the blowing of the great shofar. As Rabbi Mark has taught during Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, there is no explanation given as to why the shofar is being blown on Rosh Hashanah, which is also called Yom Teruah, the day of blowing. It's also blowing the shofar is done at the coronation of the king. Yeshua comes in the clouds at the great shofar. It's announcing the king is coming. The second coming, first coming, he was the suffering servant. The second coming, he is the conquering king. And the shofar is being blown to let us know he is coming. It's just amazing where you see his word explains things that he's going to do. Not everything is a mystery. He's put it all there for us to see. We just have to have faith and diligently seek him out and seek out the information as he will show us. So I said that I'm in no way saying that all these scriptures contain messianic prophecy, although some of them do, and as I believe, some of the Jewish scholars do believe as well. So in the first Haftorah, Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says, "A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God." Does that sound familiar to people? It's actually referenced in Matthew 3:3, where it says, "For this is the one referred by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Right from the very beginning, it's announcing, clear the way for the Lord. As we count down to Yeshua's coming, the very first thing it talks about is clearing the way for the Lord. This was the only messianic reference based on the reference card that Rabbi made up several years ago. The only one I could find in the seven half Torah, but the Lord then showed me how Isaiah 60:19, which says, "No longer will you have the sun or for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light and your God for your glory." This is referencing, it's a cross-reference to Revelation 21:23. "And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb." That's a messianic prophecy. I'm not trying to bombard you with scriptures, but I do want you to have some kind of reference to what I'm looking at. And again, the point of the message is not seeing messianic prophecy within these seven Haftorah, but the overall picture of Shabbat Nakamu as I see it as a countdown to the second coming of Yeshua. Although there is much disagreement within traditional Judaism in regards to Yeshua and his deity, they were the keepers of the word. If you're solid in your relationship with God, the Father, Yeshua the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, that's the complete package. If you're solid in your relationship with them and you read his word diligently and you can sift, you'll be able to sift through all the non-truths of Judaism and find Yeshua. But the thing is, you have to be solid in your faith and you have to be solid in his reading of his word and understanding his word. If you're not solid, and if you don't read his word on a daily basis, and I'm not talking about, did you read the readings for this week? Yes, it's important to do that. But are you reading, period? You have to read his word, period, every day to understand him, to know him. Because if you don't understand him, you don't know him, and you go to the Jewish literature and try to understand that, you can get sent down bunny trails and you will not understand it and you can get confused and you start listening to the wrong stuff. The problem is being mature enough not to be sucked into the traditional Judaism to the point where you lose your faith and deny Yeshua. And this is very important because this actually happened. We had a dear, close congregational member who left because he denied Yeshua and went over to Orthodox Judaism. This person denies Yeshua and states that Yeshua is a created being. He is not God. Lord, I pray for this person and that the veil that was placed over his eyes will be removed before it is too late and that he will see the truth. Yeshua is the truth, the light, and the way. This is one of the reasons why it's so dangerous for the Hebrew roots believing that they're thinking of In order to be legit and be righteous, you have to follow exactly what the Orthodox do. Another thing that's really dangerous with the Hebrew Roots movement is the Ephraimite theory, which believes that since they're not Jewish, they say that the lost 10 tribes are actually the Gentile nations, and since the Jewish people messed up on their part, that and they lost it, now that they are the ones that get all the promises. That is a lie. God knows exactly where all his people are. The 10 tribes are not lost because God knows exactly where they are. And he didn't change it. He wants all of us to be saved, Jews and Gentiles, but not at the expense of discarding one over the other. He's not coming back for just the Gentiles. He's not coming back just for the Jews. He's coming back for everybody. And you can't discard one over the other. It has to be both. My advice to anybody listening to this message, if you want to seek more about these things from the Jewish literature, talk to Rabbi Mark and Rabbi Eduardo. Rabbi Mark was actually in a yeshiva training to be an Orthodox rabbi before he left. So he does know the Jewish literature. He understands it. Rabbi Eduardo, as I said, majored in college for Jewish studies, so he understands it. The main point is to be careful. You can get sucked into all these false teachings if you're not careful. Yes, I study Hebrew. I'm trying to learn it more. And the Lord directed me to these commentaries that I have to understand some of the Jewish literature. He showed me about Shabbat Nachamu, how it shows the countdown to Yeshua's second coming. There are scriptures that could be messianic in nature, but I just can't say positively that they are, such as Isaiah 40:11, that speaks of a shepherd and his flock. It says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. And in Isaiah 60:1-6, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has been risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and gather his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. These strict scriptures could be debatable, but the reference to a shepherd and a light speaks of Messiah Yeshua. He is the great shepherd, and he is the light, the truth, and the way. So, let's go to the reference I made about the Jewish scholars. In Isaiah 55:4-6, it states, behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. I have made him a witness. This speaks of an individual, not a nation, which, according to Jewish people, Isaiah 43:53, is talking about the Jewish people, but is it talking about an individual, which is Yeshua? In the Socino commentary, which a dear friend of mine, a close friend of mine, gifted me the whole commentary series, wasn't by accident. The Lord directed him to give me that commentary, and this is what I used to understand for this message. Commentary, it's an Orthodox Jewish commentary, and it states about verse 4 that it is talking about King David, or a representative of his dynasty. And who is that representative? That is Yeshua. He is the descendant of King David. The Lord specifically made it happen that way. It's his plan. The Hartscroll Chumash commentary also states that Isaiah is speaking of messianic times. So even the Jewish people see it as messianic. The leader of Israel will be the offspring of David, and the nations of the world will flock to him and his nation. That is Yeshua. He is the offspring of David, and the nations will flock to him. The Jewish people won't say it, but this is talking about Yeshua. Two final quotes from the Hartscroll Chumash commentary, which I find very interesting. Isaiah announces that the glory of God is imminent. The climax of the prophecy is that this will be the final redemption. The final redemption. This is from the Hartscroll Chumash. And who is the Redeemer? It's Yeshua. He is our Goel, the Redeemer, kinsman Redeemer. And in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's from Ephesians 1:6. He is our Redeemer. And this is the final redemption. This is the day he comes breaking through the clouds at the great shofar. In regards to the seventh and the last haftarah, Isaiah 61:10-63:9, the Hartscroll commentary states, God was preparing the way for the next stage in the journey to the messianic era. They even believe it's messianic in nature. I putting this message together, it just blew me away. This sounds so much, like I said, a countdown of the Omer to Shavuot, Yeshua's first coming, and what he was going to do and how he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And I see this shows, points toward the ninth of Av, the day that the first and second temple were destroyed, and the Shabbat right after that. And then seven full Shabbats, just like the Omer. And then we have Yom Teruah, the day of blowing, announcing the coming of the King. This is exciting that he put things in his word that help us to understand his plan. I'm not saying that it's going to happen anytime soon, but it's given us an idea that how things are going to work. I believe, and I'm not positive, but I believe when things are going to start happening, when his return is going to happen, I think it's going to start from the ninth of Av, and then Shabbat Nakamu, and then we're going to count seven full Shabbats, and then he comes back. I could be wrong, but I just have the feeling, I believe that's the way it's going to be. And as I was preparing this message, he had me put down the scripture from Isaiah 40, verse 3 again, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And as I was typing, the song by Michael W. Smith came into my head, prepare thee the way of the Lord. And it's interesting the way he wrote this song. And I took a clip and he actually said Yeshua. It just shocked me when I first heard his. He actually said Yeshua. This is great. So in conclusion, I have one more scripture from Revelations 21:23-27. I saw no temple in it, For the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, and the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. That's referencing Isaiah 60:20. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no light night there. Its gates will never be closed, and the day will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean nor and no one will practice who practices abominations and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeshua is coming back. Amen. Now I'm finished.